Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
As the wheel turns, these are the days of our lives. I said that. This is so random, but I said that today. And my wife looked at me like, what? And I just repeated it. And then she goes, is this like a Star Trek thing or something? I don't. And I'm like, it was a soap opera. And she goes, oh, white people novellas? And I go, yes, white people novella. And she goes, one of those shows that's on its 110th season? Weirdo. And she started saying a bunch of random shit in Spanish. She thinks it's odd that we have, and I told her, I'm like, in America, if it's still making money, they're not going to cancel it.
That's the only thing that I've always thought was weird about. I mean, but also you're growing up on U.S. television, so like you have a show that's, oh God, what's that one? I remember I told you about it, and it was this thing that has something to do with the fucking Virgin Mary or something like that, and every story kind of every novella revolves around it. But it's an anthology show, so every episode is a new cast, a new storyline, but it revolves around this, like, I guess it's like some virgin saint or something like that. It's hilarious, but I remember I saw it one time and I was like going, what the fuck is this? And
well, a lot of shows, like, and we're starting to see it in American cinema now because Marvel does it. Yeah. Where you start a TV show with a clear end to the story. But like novellas are like that. A lot of Asian shows, like out of Japan and Korea, are like that. They're not meant to go on forever. Oh, like they tell their story and then they end.
So during that whole time I didn't have the internet, I was using antenna. My antenna TV.
I was lighting a fire in my front yard.
I was taking these old books and then tearing pages out to keep the fire lit in the living room.
Right. I didn't realize that inside those books was information I could read.
when I was watching antenna television, there's a channel, the NKH, and it's a Korean channel. And
I've seen it. My wife used to watch it. She loves those fucking shows.
My brother used to, John used to watch it with, for the news, because their news was always broadcast in English. And he's always, you know, just kind of liked to see what was going on over there. And then I came across, and, I left it there because it had that thing on. And I went to another room. And when I came back, it was, one of their little K-pop shows. I call K-pop because it's just, you know, it's just one of their little melodramas. And yeah. It was about this.
I think they call them K-dramas.
K-dramas, yeah. It's,
they just put K in front. They're like Apple. Yeah. They put K in front of everything. They don't do it in Asia. They do it here. Yeah.
You know those K-Koreans? You know those?
K-Koreans.
But it was about this scientific project that was supposed to, like, go underground or something like that and create this whole, like, or have the city run on new youth ideas. So they were like getting kids from like high school and college to handle these things and stuff like that. And it was just like this, the older group didn't like it because it's like, what do these kids know? And the kids are like, well, you know, you caused all these problems. Maybe we have something that can do it. And so they had this kind of broad kind of like, oh, it's kind of a cool idea. I'm thinking like, the old guard, new guard kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then like cuts in between and like, oh, there she is. Oh, she doesn't like me. She hates me for this, that, and the other thing. This is like this basic teen drama. And I was like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is kind of, it's, it was silly, but at the same time, I was kind of like, okay. Like, it kind of got me a little bit.
I watch Korean shows actually kind of frequently.
K-Korean shows?
K-shows. like, there's this one where it's a it's like a variety, like, game show, and they'll have like famous people on that I probably won't know, and they'll have them do little, you know, things. Where there's one, it's a cooking one where everyone has to cook together. It's just and it's funny because everyone's having a good time. But there's one thing that I've noticed is how flirting works in Korea, at least on these shows, where they're a very conservative culture. Conservative in the true sense, not the political sense. They're, you know, women don't have their tits hanging out, and girls,
which is
aren't
a shame.
Fucking,
which is a shame.
It's a shame. and they're not. The men aren't very pushy. You know, they're very polite. It's really weird when you learn a little bit about Korean culture. Even their language is polite. Like, it's impossible to be rude. Like, if you speak their language correctly. Anyway, so. One common thread is that the women, and I don't know if this is everywhere, but I see it on the shows. The women are very intense with what they say. I don't know if it's a translation thing or whatever, but like the dude will be shy. The dudes are always shy. Mm-hmm. And then the woman will just say, like, would you die for me? Like, right now? And that's like flirting. I'm like, dude. And the dude just kind of goes, ho, 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 laugh. You do that in America, be like, what the fuck are you just saying? Like, bitch, I just met you.
It's so, like, check, please.
I think it's so funny. there was that game show one, and the guys are all hilarious or whatever. And they had the girls from Blackpink, that the world's largest fucking girl group right now. And everyone's acts very humble, too. No one's like, I'm a star, fuck you. Like, everybody's very, you know, nice to each other. These dudes were tripping over themselves. Like, there's no machismo. Like, I have to act like aloof. That doesn't exist. They're like, oh, my God, so pretty. I can't move. And it's kind of funny to watch.
I can't get up. Why not? My boner is keeping me from standing straight up at this time.
And then they kept saying they were doing – so the girls came out and did the performance, and they kept saying they had small faces. Their faces are so small. And I'm like, huh? And I found out that's like a beauty standard in Korea, like having a small face.
Interesting.
I was like, okay. You know, I mean, we have weird ones too, you know, but – because it's just weird to hear a dude say, her face is so small. Like, okay.
Okay. Is that a fetish I'm not aware of? I'm like,
the equivalent of Vargo going, that ass is fat, boy.
Did you motorboat anyway, that? So did you motorboat her? You motorboating motherfucker. Wedding Crashers. Great movie.
Now, if you've just tuned in, this is a Star Trek podcast. It is not family friendly.
Exactly.
This is Star Trek late night.
Yeah. Let me hit the neon sign, get that thing going.
Star Trek After Dark.
Oh, man. So, those Star Trek trailers.
Yeah, man. Fucking Picard looks real cool.
Dude, Picard, like, it had me, like, going, oh, shit. Like, now, first of all, I didn't realize that was Amanda Plummer that's playing the baddie in this episode.
I did not realize that either.
Which is, and so here's the funny little, somebody did this little point to point, and I was like, oh shit, that's right. Amanda Plummer is playing the baddie in the last Picard series. Her father, Christopher Plummer, played the baddie in the last TOS movie.
Oh.
And I was like, oh shit. I was like, that's right. He played General Chang.
Amanda Plummer is great too, because she's very, like, what's a good word that's not an insult?
She,
like,
can be really intense.
Intense, yeah. Like, very erratic. You know, yeah. She's fun to watch.
My favorite of hers, though, is still So I Married an Axe Murderer. I fucking love her
in
that.
That's a classic movie. It doesn't get enough fucking attention.
I love that fucking movie with her in it. She's like, do you want pancakes with, like, bacon and syrup and, like, fresh cut oranges? Yeah, that'll be great. She's pouring Cocoa Puffs into Chris and Mike Myers' things. Sorry I didn't have any of that other stuff.
I need to watch that movie again.
Oh, man. I love watching that movie. But yeah, so Picard. And then, like, at the end scene lore, I was like going, oh, shit. I was wondering how they were going to bring Brent Spiner back into it. Scene lore.
And, Moriarty with the pistol?
Then, yeah, and then seeing Moriarty, I was like, what? I literally went audible when I saw that. I was like, what? I was like, with the pistol. I was like, holy shit. And then I saw him tweet out on Twitter, the guy that plays Moriarty, go, well, it's out. And then he posted a picture of Moriarty on it. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm totally like, what the hell? The cool thing is that LeVar Burton's real life daughter is going to be in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's playing his daughter, his youngest daughter, and then an actress is playing his oldest. So, and then that glimpse of the Enterprise F.
Yep.
I was like, bro.
You know, I was freeze framing and rewinding. I'm like, what? Bro, I'm excited. It didn't look
all that sovereign-y either.
No, it didn't. It kind of looked older.
It did. It did.
Which I'm not upset. Yeah. Those nacelles reminded me of a Miranda class.
I was watching Trek Culture, and they said that that's the Enterprise F from the Star Trek Online game.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So they go that they've brought it. They're making it canon now.
I need to change my whole pants right now. That's so fucking great. I've been wanting to play that game again, too. The game's kind of a pain in the ass because they've over-monetized it, but just getting out in the ship's fun. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be cool. He's got the whole gang back together. It's going to be great.
And who else could get Picard back into space but Beverly?
For real.
Yeah.
And then that trailer was the best teaser because it gave you just enough where you're like, what the fuck is happening? You know what I mean? And why does everyone have to be there? And fucking lore? I forgot about lore.
I know.
Come on.
It was so cool, too, because like the first scene is like Picard sitting down to eat, and then you see these Starfleet uniforms. What's it? Admiral Picard, I think? Yeah, Admiral Picard. Yeah. He goes, we need you to come with us. And I was like,
bro, I was watching. So the way my new setup is my bed's behind me. So my wife was on the bed and I'm watching the trailer and I have my headphones on and she can't see it. So I'm going, oh, shit. Oh, and she immediately goes, is a new Star Trek coming out? Because it's just the giddiness, bro. I was so excited.
And the massive erection.
Did they give a release date? I don't remember.
Yes, February 2023. Yeah. So what it looks...
That's not that far away, too.
No, it looks like what's going to happen is that we're going to end with... we're going to end with Lower Decks. Prodigy's coming back because Prodigy starts at the end of October.
And Prodigy's a good show, too, if you haven't seen any of it.
I saw the first – wasn't the first episode like a two-parter or something like that? I saw and I kind of dug it. I liked the visuals. The animation was cool. But I still have to see the rest of it. But this part two of season one is coming out at the end of this month. So I'm assuming that's going to push us, and then there's going to be a little gap before Picard comes on because Picard comes out in February. So
I don't fully understand what's with the fucking giant gap in between the two parts of the season of Prodigy, especially for a kid show.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
And with the trailer, it looks like, you know, Admiral Jellicoe is coming back. Mm-hmm. At first, I got confused because I'm like, Jellicoe? I go, the dude with the Pegasus? I was like, I thought, but no, I was like,
I thought that's who I thought too.
Yeah, but no, it's the one that took over the Enterprise when Picard was, there's only four.
I think it's fucking hilarious that you and I made the same mistake and then had the same realization, probably the same fucking time.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was him too, and I was like, why would he fucking court-martial, fuck that asshole. And then I was like, oh no, wait, it's what's his name.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that too, because he was dope.
Yeah. And especially now with all the memes with Captain Jellicoe, you know, where they I love them.
It's gonna be fucking great. There's so much Star Trek going on. There can't be too much Star Trek. Right. Bring all of it.
Yeah. And then we got the little teaser for Discovery season 5, which I'm still waiting for everybody to say that season 5, it's canceled, they're done, they're not doing it again. We got a little teaser on it. Obviously it's just images and stuff like
It wasn't anything to be honest. I it I'm happy there's a season five. It didn't excite me because it's one of those teasers that there's nothing. There's no substance to it.
Right.
It's just a bunch of images.
But they're currently filming it, so... And also there was no release date for it. So I'm assuming
that's going to be the last one that comes out.
It's going to probably, because I'm assuming, this is what I'm assuming, is that we're going to get, now you guys
Section can. Section 31 is going to come out in December. I'm just kidding.
We're going to get the end of Lower Decks. For the most part, I've been loving Lower Decks.
The last episode
was a little weird, but, my favorite still of this season of Lower Decks is still when Bormer and what's her name were doing the recruitment booth. Yeah. That's still my fucking
and
favorite.
And he's the one that goes
fucking
off.
We want
to go explore quasars and ship it. No, we got to keep fucking. I was laughing.
Stop making games that take over people's minds, okay?
It was great. I love Lower Decks because I understand like every reference. My wife watched one of the episodes with me and she goes, "This show is funny." Because she chuckled a couple times. She's like, "But I can tell it's so much more funnier for you because you know what's going on in the background." She goes, I can only laugh at the story that's being presented to me. You know, she says, "But it is funny." I was like, I love this fucking
And then
show.
All those people are like, and then all those other people start signing up and stuff like that. Yeah, well, I get to wear any uniform I want. I can wear a belt if I want to.
I need some Star Trek video games. I need some quality Star Trek video games to come out.
Well, you mean not the shit that came out on PC or PlayStation 1?
some of the PC games were fire back in the day. Starfleet Academy, bro? Come on.
That episode in Lower Decks when they made fun of that video game with Gowron?
Yeah. Yo, I've played that video. I've beaten that video game. The game was great.
I remember...
They were doing that across the board, like the whole fucking... interactive movie kind of games. Yeah. And I love that they have a Borg one where Q's in it. I've played that one too.
I loved it too when it was the new chancellor, what's Martok, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm trying to get my hands on the Gowron one." And I was like going, yeah. "Oh shit."
That's so great, dude. Such a deep pull too.
I know.
I laughed so hard because I know how deep of a pull it was. And I was laughing so
Me
hard.
Me too, because I remember that. I never played it, but I remember that game. I remember going like, "Oh shit, they got the actor Gowron to play this one." And then hearing him, "Yeah, I want to get the guy." I was like, "Oh fuck, that's hilarious."
I used to get, back in the day, bro, I got the bootleg. Because back then it was easy. You just copied the CD.
Yeah,
like there was nothing on there, and someone would buy it, and then a copy was made, and then a copy was made, and then everybody had it. But yeah, that game was fucking great, man. Yeah. I mean, they're not. It was funny. Like the best scene in that Gowron game is when he has to talk. He tricks a Packled because he says that he wants the Packled to come aboard, and the Packled goes no. I'm afraid. I don't want to come aboard. And then he goes, why? He says something about Klingons. And Gowron goes, well, you should come over here and explain to me why you're afraid. And he goes, okay. And then Gowron looks at the camera and just goes, like, it's that fucking easy. Like, that kind of look. Oh, I died. You can watch the all those old, like, interactive movie Star Trek games. There's that one in Borg, and I think there's another one I don't remember. You can watch the whole. It's like a show.
Didn't
you can
Riker
watch
do
the
one?
Whole thing on YouTube.
Didn't Riker do one?
I think he did. I can't remember.
I can't because I kind of have a this vision in my head of Riker on the bridge, but like no other main character. Like, you know, it's they always had one main character, and then nobody else.
I have the Sega Genesis Star Trek game. No big deal. Oh yeah, Star Trek. I think it was Star Trek Generations that he's in it. I think his voice is in it. I don't know. Who cares? But
back to my prediction on the layout.
Right.
It's going to be we end Lower Decks. We're going to have Prodigy. Then we'll have Picard season 3, and then we'll have probably Strange New World season 2, because that completed filming in the summer. And that's done. So, and then probably after that, we'll probably have Discovery if not later. They may move in like another Lower Decks or Prodigy, whatever.
I'm just excited because by the time Picard comes out, I should have my projector set up in the living room. There's a projector I want to get $200. The only downside to it, well, it's 1080p, but that's not a downside to me. But
it's
the only
not
downside
8K?
Is, yeah, I know. The only downside is that it's not very bright. That's usually what happens when you have a cheaper projector.
Well, isn't that usually what you do with, like, outside in the backyard on a screen or something like that?
Yeah. So I'm gonna get this projector. It's $200. Nighttime, and I'm getting blackout curtains everywhere anyway because blackout curtains keep the heat out, and these windows ain't working. I'm gonna watch that fucking all the Star Trek from now on when I get that bitch on like a fucking huge ass wall because I deserve it. Okay.
Yeah, I want to get a 70 inch flat screen and just have it for Star Trek. I'm not gonna watch any other TV on it. Nothing else, just Star Trek.
That's right. As you fucking should.
All right. So, as you guys may know, we did take a little bit of a break. So we finally get to the conclusion of the Vulcan saga with Kira Shara, which is episode 101 for us, or the eighth episode of this, or ninth episode, sorry, of this fourth season. We're going to do stuff a little bit differently. We're going to kind of go back. If you've listened to the throwback episodes that I threw up of when we originally did this with TNG, some of my favorite episodes that we did up there, with the exception of Encounter at Farpoint, Where No Man's Gone Before, which still is one of my favorite when we first meet the Traveler. Adam and I have a lot of fun with that. Code of Honor, that racist episode. You know, so
that's the worst episode of TNG, in my opinion.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. You know, Shades of Grey still in there, but yeah,
Shades definitely. Of Grey, the candle one.
No, Shades of Grey is that Clips show.
Clips show's dumb because it's a clip show. That's not even a show. Like, I can't
Riker
even judge
gets
that
infected
as an episode.
By this bug, so we need to go and do these clips,
yeah.
Just to.
I can't even. The budget was tight. Okay, I can't even judge the episode. The two worst episodes of TNG are that fucking race Code of Honor and that damn Ghost in the Candle one. But the Ghost in the Candle one at least was funny.
Is that the one with where Beverly has sex with a cloud?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That one's at least funny. The Code of Honor one isn't even funny. Like, it's uncomfortable to watch. And I remember someone was saying online in a forum, they go, "Well, it was a different time," and then someone replied, like, "No, it wasn't. No one was down for that back then either." It's the fucking 80s. It wasn't 1880.
What did somebody say? Somebody said, "Oh no, I think you said it in that episode." Was like, it's like somebody in the 40s came in and wrote that episode.
Yeah, it was so bad. It reminds me that have you ever seen that skit where it's how Captain America really would be? And they wake Captain America up. It's a live action skit on YouTube. And he's racist as fuck. And then this one woman interrupts him and he just smacks her. It's a good I'll have to find the skit and send it to you. It's fucking
yeah, hilarious. I've never seen that one. All right. So we're in part three of the whole Vulcan saga. So the teaser starts with Vulcan's meeting in the High Command, and basically Velas goes ahead and just reveals his plan to invade Andoria, because why not, right? Of course, without the Council's approval, and it was such bullshit, that response that he gave. Why didn't we know about this? Well, because we had reports that Andorians might have infiltrated the High Council. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
I'm not saying he was Bush,
but
he definitely was that whole administration in one man.
How can you show me your George W. Bush without showing me your George W. Bush?
Like, I can't. Like, I'm not gonna say he's Bush because we all know that Bush was just getting fed horrible information,
right?
He was at least Cheney, yeah. Though. Like, there was some shit that dude.
That's it. that's it. Velos was Chaney.
He's Chaney. And someone was making a fucking statement, bro.
Yeah, and Kuvok, the other guy, was Bush. Like, okay.
Like, yeah, he's like, I guess.
I guess if we do that, that's what's going to happen, right?
This whole fucking show, not this episode, this show is a 9/11 fucking commentary. Yeah. The whole thing.
It's all a commentary on
it's been a long road, you know?
I gotta admit, I was just like going, holy shit, it's been a while since we've watched these. And I was just like, I even let the theme song play the whole way through, you know?
I did too. Yeah. I'm skipping that.
Yeah. So in Act One, we go back to Vulcan and then we find Archer, T'Pol, and T'Pol. That was so hard writing that because I kept writing T'Pol twice and they go, oh, wait, it's T'Pol, not T'Pol.
Yeah, T'Pow.
T'Pow. Not like a Batman kick. Bang!
I just
zoom,
saw it.
T'Pow.
I saw it in my head. I'm like, T'Pow.
A big purple like splash, and then it's like T'Pow on it.
Where's Earth the kid at? You.
So here we get the whole thing. We basically get the plan for what their whole journey is through this episode is to take the artifact to the High Council. And it'll take 2 days to get there. And it's important that they get there because, you know, the council will like, oh, well, we have to investigate this and then realize that, you know, they've been following the Mormon version of their Bible as opposed to like, you know, the King James version.
And that is kind of what's going on. It's like a different religious sect or something.
Right.
But the thing is that it's painfully obvious. The dude in charge who's pulling all the strings, he doesn't give a fuck about any of that.
Oh, no.
he's just using it to his advantage. And it's kind of crazy, too. And Star Trek always does this. You can tell who the bad Vulcans are because they raise their voice.
Oh, right, yeah.
He's constantly raising his voice. Like if someone questions him, he raises his voice. That's a human thing. Vulcans don't do that. So it's like – you immediately know he's the bad guy. Like in the first episode, if you've ever watched Star Trek, like, this motherfucker would need to watch that tone. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, because you're watching this and you're just like, oh, God, he's like manic, you know?
Yeah, because everyone around him is calm. Like they're questioning him, but they're calmly doing it like a Vulcan would do. He's like, no, we have information. It's like, yo, you sounding like Chaney right now, motherfucker.
So we basically get there. Basically, this scene just sets up the whole plot for their arc in this episode. Because in the last episode, they found
it. Crazy. This character is in this room the entire time.
Which?
The main bad guy. He's only in one room the entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in like missile command or wherever the fuck he is.
He's in a secure location.
That's right. He's pushing pencils, motherfucker. He ain't out on the field. He ain't Napoleon.
what they don't show you is out the window, you can see the Serenites building a hangman's noose saying hang Velos. That's what they're doing out there.
Velos making cake, telling him to eat it and shit. You know what I mean? Like
he sticks his head out the window, sticks out the window, pulls out a piece of cake and just pushes it into his mouth and just like eats it obnoxiously from his window.
This is so good.
It tastes like lemon.
Bitches.
As he's crabbing, he's like, you wish you had these nuts. Because that's kind of how obnoxious he's getting. He's getting like this total, like, incredibly obnoxious, like, just attitude. Like, he's on the verge of getting what he wants. It's like that guy that's just like, you know, fucking someone that's like, don't change it. Don't change it. I'm almost there. That kind of thing. Where it's like, don't change the way, you know, you're moving or anything like that. That's just how it goes. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Don't move. Starting to sound like some mouth.
What was it? John Cena in a train wreck. After he orgasms and he's like, don't move. He's like, you're moving. Don't move.
Oh, you moved. Oh,
you're moving. So on the Enterprise, Reed's having a little bit of problems dealing with the orders that Trip gave him. I gotta admit, though, this is the most confident I've seen Trip. Even though
confident, but also
cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic. Like, he's not. There's too many people around him trying to pull the strings. So you have the ambassador trying to pull the strings. Dorian trying to pull the strings. Like, everyone's trying, and he's just like, "Can you guys just shut the fuck up?"
Yeah, because
I'm like, the captain now. All right.
That's what he should have did to Reed when Reed was like, "Are you sure we're doing this? You know, but they ordered us back there. Yeah, but we're going to go the long way." And he's like, "Yeah, but we could get into a war. Look at me, look at me. I'm the captain now." You know, when Reed is like kind of really questioning Trip, and Trip's kind of deflecting his responses, like, "Well, you'll have a good seat at the court. I'll make sure you have a good seat at my court martial." You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It would have been hilarious if Trip picked up a coffee mug and it said, "What would Archer do?" on the side of it. Would be like really fucking hilarious. But, you know, and to me, it was kind of like, he is kind of exuding confidence. Like, I know what I'm in trouble. I think it's more assuredness is like, I know what I'm doing, but I'm doing this because I'm trying to prevent a war, you know? And I kind of dug the way he kind of handled it. I mean, he didn't get pregnant in this episode, to which I was, you know, I was impressed.
I was disappointed, to be honest with you. Well, yeah, because the thing is like, The Andorians in this were crazy, and it's this episode was really good just because it really shows that history in there.
Yeah,
like, well, the Andorians are naturally paranoid, but what he does later, at first you're like, "Oh my god," but then you think about it and you're like, "Oh, it kind of makes sense." Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then when Suval comes in, and then he tells Reed he's dismissed. And that look Reed gives Saval, It was kind of like, you know, I expected Saval to like pump his chest and go, "Got something to say? What's up? What's up?" You know, like, you want to go? You want to go? But, and then this is when they discuss the whole thing about, we need to warn the Andorians of what's happening. But They don't think they're going to listen to just, you know, Trip, and who would blame him? And, you know, you're like, this is just a fucking chief engineer.
It's not even the main captain. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not even the first officer.
The Andorians are pointing at the screen like, "Ain't this the fucking engineer? Where's the fuck out of here. Go fix something.
The fucking first officer. Where's even that?" I mean, you know, it's like, come on. Like, this
you
is
got
how,
something to clean up in the back room or something?
This is how Starfleet views us? They send the fucking engineer to come and talk to us?
Yeah.
No, fuck Starfleet. Fuck off. Fuck Starfleet.
Fuck Starfleet. You see him grab his dick. Fuck Starfleet. Where the fuck out of here? That sounds more like what a Tellarite would do.
Yeah, I know. And the crew in the background flipping him off, you know? Yeah. Hoshi gets they're sending a signal. It says, "Suck, fuck Starfleet." Okay, never mind.
Let's leave him alone.
So they said that, you know, and then you get the whole, you're like, "Well, I don't think the military group was going to listen to us." And then Saval's like, "I think I might know someone who might." And that was like, my boy Schran.
That's right. I already knew too.
Yeah. I, for some reason, when Schran comes on and I hear pink skin, I just like the way he says it. Like, he just says it so like pink skin. Like,
yeah.
Like, he just.
What do you think? Pink skin. Like, hey, I think you need to under enunciate that P. That's what I think you need to do. Disrespectful ass motherfucker.
I saw this TikTok today where it was this black guy said he lost his black card because he said he liked Frasier. And they were like, and it's like his buddy says, nah. And he goes, they kicked me out. But to be honest, it was he goes, this was kind of a long time coming. I said I didn't like, he said he liked lemon herb chicken wings. He says, he goes, then it has a good flavor to it. He starts saying all this shit. I'll just send you, and it was fucking hilarious when he said he liked Frasier. So I said,
I mean, Frasier's a weird show. I used to watch that when I was a kid, and I don't know why, because I probably didn't understand a word that was happening.
I sent it to a guy I used to work with because he loves Frasier. When we worked together at Mind Games, he literally bought Frasier, Niles, and the Dads Funko Pops when we got them. He bought all three of them. So you go back to the High Command, and then Velos gets a report that, you know, they captured like a few Serenites, and that Serenites.
I keep wanting to say Syrians. That's
because it's you think so? Because I know the first couple of letters you kind of think Syria. Yeah, okay. Serenites, because
Syrians are real people that deserve our.
Are you saying that Star Trek isn't real?
Not saying anything at all. I just feel that the Syrian people are an honorable and respectable people. Okay, trying to shake the boat.
Rock the boat, baby. And they said that like three had escaped, two Vulcans and a human. Then he's like, "It's almost wait." When he said Archer, I was just kind of like this, yeah. Like expecting his fingers to like tap one another. It's like Archer. It's like a Scooby-Doo villain. It's like those damn meddling kids, you know. And then he's like, then he fucking goes and has them order Telek to, you know, that there's still some Serenites out there. Go out there and kill everyone. You know, like, it's like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, calm down.
You're like getting a little, kind of raising the you're at 11. Let's turn it down to at least a 7. Let's go to a 7. How about we try that?
I spent some time on Earth, and I learned a term. It's called red flag. Okay? And you're throwing them at me at this point.
And then the Enterprise finally reaches the supernova to get in touch with Shran, and I like how he's like, where they go to that nebula, and then Saval is like, open a channel. To where? And he's like, to the nebula. I was like, okay.
There was some silliness in this episode where people were just like, what the fuck?
And he's like, to the nebula. And then Saval comes out, and then Trip's like, yeah, ass is Trip. Shran, like, hey, Shran, show your ass. And then all of a sudden, Shran shows up. And then he's like, Tucker.
Tucker.
It would have been funny if it's like we're getting a signal. Then he comes on. They both went, hey.
Hey, what's up, motherfucker? Don't think I forgot about that $5 you owe me too, you fucking bullshitting out here. You lost that bet.
or Shran goes like, hey, I told you I'll have your money like in a couple weeks. See, the way my bank account works.
Is for real. Shran pulls up like, oh, shit, Tucker, you ain't pregnant.
And then he says like, you know, we need to talk to you. So Shran comes over, and then obviously he's pissed. And, you know, I give it to him.
Shran's always pissed.
Yeah, he's pissed about anything. He's like going, bro, did they not, like, you know, did your coffee come a little too hot? Like, what the hell? What the fuck happened over here?
On Earth, they put the warnings on the cup. You know, you feel me? Then you know.
We Andorians, we don't even have the lid. Like, oh shit, okay.
Oh.
But so
honestly, at that point, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Starbucks on Andoria, bro. And fucking Starbucks everywhere.
You'd be funny if like they're walking down the hallway on the Enterprise, and just like you see a little kiosk right on the side of the hallway.
I have three Starbucks 5 minutes away from my house.
Jesus.
Why? Like it's a I got less gas stations around my house than I have Starbucks. And you know, I was at that Starbucks a couple days ago getting that little fucking apple one. It's delicious.
Jesus.
Delicious.
So they tell Shran what the deal is. And then Shran's like, you know, you're betraying your people, blah, 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 blah. And, you know. Exactly like
that too.
What's it?
It's exactly like that too. Yeah. Being an asshole.
Bro. Yeah, exactly. So he decides he's going to, you know, talk to his command. But at the same time, we have this quiet moment on Vulcan, which I thought was a missed opportunity, because we have T'Pol and T'Pau having a bit of a heart to heart. Mm-hmm. Archer's off in the back, quote unquote, sleeping. and DePaul's very emotional. And it's like, you know, and I think it's kind of funny because they mentioned that she has the Ponar syndrome and that, you know, because she says she's a little over, she's upset about her mother, about her mother dying. And she's like, you know, even though, you know, that bitch got on my nerves, I still respected her counsel.
Yeah. Still my mom. You feel me? Like, you know,
and then T'Pau says that she can mind T'Pau. can mind meld.
Yeah, I'm just saying like that. T'Pau.
T'Pau. says that she can mind meld with her so she can have some like memories of her mother. And then she brings up the Ponar syndrome that she has, which we haven't heard since season 2. And then
I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of like, oh, we ain't going to mention anything about the crack thing that she went through. Like, you know,
world building, I guess. Yeah.
And then we come to find out conveniently that it happens to Vulcan, that it's a lie, that there is a cure for it, that it only comes when you have people that aren't trained well in mind melds, and that she could fix her. And conveniently, yeah.
This random person in the fucking mountains.
Right. And when she did the mind meld, I was expecting her to like I started laughing because I'm like picturing T'Pau. like putting her hand on T'Pau's breast and then like getting closer and was like, shh, just let it happen. Just let it happen. And it's like, oh, this is new. I'm trained in multiple techniques. Yeah.
That's right. I'm fully functional.
And I was like going, oh my God, that's such a missed opportunity. And then suddenly, like, you see Archer's eyes kind of open, like, all right. Like he's. I mean,
maybe they didn't do that because she was sexually assaulted last time this happened, but I don't know.
but this time it's a woman. It's different.
Now it's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. I mean, they could have got all the Emmys. They could have just, everything would have just like been Emmys. Celebrated. It was just like, it's just, you see her just getting closer, like, shh. My mind. To your mind.
Could have been Star Trek's Brokeback Mountain, bro.
My mind to your mind. Just let it happen.
My mind's telling me no. But my body.
So after this, we hear Ponar never again, much like that whole crack thing that just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
no. So the act ends with Shran just being a complete shit and then beams fucking Saval into his torture chair.
Directly into the chair. We're not skipping time. Please.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to spend time waiting for him to be like all like, you know, oh, we got to capture him from the transporter pad. No, we beam him right into the fucking chair. And, you know, this is going to be uncomfortable.
Jesus.
So Act 2 begins where Shrant's in the chair and Saval's in the chair. There's a lot of S's in this episode, a lot of S's and T's. So Saval's in the chair and Shran basically is like, I'm torturing you because I want to make sure what you're telling me is true. But what I thought was kind of funny was he's like, you know, and it was funny because Saval is like, you know, we have immense abilities to overcome pain. So
Vulcan.
Exactly. Yeah,
whatever.
Vulcan, jerking off. Vulcan, jerking off.
We're the best.
And then Shran's like, yeah. But we gonna get you with the emotions. And then Saval's like, oh, fuck me.
Damn it. My one weakness. My strength is also my one weakness.
It's my blue kryptonite.
You know? For real.
How many colors of kryptonite are there?
Too many. I don't remember.
Or maybe it's his red kryptonite. Who knows what's...
It's the pink kryptonite.
Oh, there you go. It's the pink one.
You know what's funny? The whole pink kryptonite thing is, you know, people view it as offensive. Happened in like 2003.
And wasn't it like just in one like
it was just one small panel. It was just a joke.
Yeah.
It was like one page. And where he was Lois was like he was introduced with pink kryptonite, and then you just see he's really interested in Jimmy.
Yeah.
But it's nothing weird. It's just like, oh, it's just a one off joke, and no one cared then, everyone cares now. So, you know.
Because, you know, we got to judge everything by modern standards that happened
exactly,
in the past. Yeah.
Exactly. See, people had senses of humor back then, so now they don't. So they don't understand what's going on. I'm going to stop.
So I love it because, like, Shran goes like, you know, this is broken Vulcans and I really don't want to use it. He's doing the whole big dick swinging, you know, that this is going to hurt a lot. And I kind of like Saval's kind of like, I've told you the truth, so just fuck it, you know.
He's like, we're going to do this thing. He's like, well, you might as well turn it up. I thought that was some G shit.
I know, where he's like, well, you better turn it up, get it over with, because, you know, this ain't going to do anything.
I was like, damn, he's not the one.
And then you have, like, on the Enterprise, you have Trip coming out, and they're like going, we can't find Saval. And I was like, okay, so the one thing that kind of I thought was a little weird was like, yeah, he's not on D-Deck and, you know, nobody's seen him. Scan for him on the ship. And I was like, well, how can you say that you can't find him when you didn't even scan the ship, like, to find him? Like, go ahead. What kind of half-ass bullshit is this? Right.
Hey, I just went by the mess hall. I figured that motherfucker was getting breakfast, but right. I didn't see him over there, so. Yeah.
You know, I told Jimmy, and Jimmy said he talked to Tommy, who talked to Billy, who talked to that new Klingon chick, and said she hadn't seen him all day. You know, it's kind of like that shit.
I think he's missing.
Bro. It's like, so what are we playing? Fucking telephone? Like,
yeah. Those high tech sensors. Like, I ain't seen him. I swung by his quarters. He didn't answer the door. So, you know, he must not be here.
But what's funny, too, is like when Trip's face was perfect.
Wait, it is. Wait a minute. You're on a spaceship. It is weird to just assume someone isn't on the ship anymore. Right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him, so he must be in outer space. It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe he opened the door, thought he was going outside for a second, and didn't realize.
You're at a coffee shop or something. He ain't here no more, bro. Yeah.
No, go check Imaginarium. He might be down at that shop over there.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
But what struck me as funny was when he asks Malcolm to scan the ship, and he goes, he's not on board. And then that little 1 second where Trip kind of looked, and then he kind of rolled his eyes up like, motherfuck, check Shran's ship. Like that look on his face of like, motherfucker.
Like, yeah, it was almost like he was annoyed. He's like, yeah,
I was like, God damn this fucker. Just like, check Shran's ship. Yeah, one Vulcan life sign. Yeah, yeah, what a shock. It's like, fuck.
Of course he's over there.
Yeah, of course he's over there. And then he starts, you know, he contests, and then you know, Shran goes into the nebula, so the Enterprise goes to follow him. And then, of course, in the nebula, you know, the sensors and stuff like that, because they couldn't use him outside of the nebula to figure out that the guy wasn't there on their ship.
Right. So, nebulas are a tricky, you know. Nebulas are essentially dust. Sensors don't work. Like, what's wrong with your fucking sensors? You can't see through some dust, bro. Come on.
See, with our sensors, we actually use the AT&T network.
Oh,
so it's like, oh.
Say no more.
Oh, I'm surprised they don't work all the time. Like,
yeah, for real. Say no more.
But what was – so when they go into the nebula and then Trip, they're like going, we can't scan, you know, like can't scan, can't navigate, whatever. I was – when they said – and he's like, well, is there any way, you know, you can do this something with the scanners to like, you know, they can scan in the nebula. And then – for some reason, and I don't know what I was on, but I was just like had all these things. It's like, well, I mean, you know, if Hoshi takes her top off, we might be able to increase sensor range.
Jesus, you know? Christ.
Did she look extra cute in this episode?
I barely saw her. She's in the background.
No, she had lines in this one.
She had lines, but she was always in the background. She wasn't. Yeah, she didn't have like a main shot at all.
No, when she said her line, they cut to her, and I thought she looked a little extra cute in this episode. But anyway, so
you need to hydrate, bro.
That's why
I forgot she was even in the
show. That's why I turned on Star Trek, because Pornhub said hydrate, bro. You know. So a lot of the Vulcan stuff between Archer T'Pau and T'Pau is just a lot of exposition, like just kind of voicing this. And this,
it's lore, basically.
Yeah. Like, and then
telling you what's up.
So now, you know, and this was kind of funny because, like, Archer and T'Pau kind of started going back and forth where, you know, T'Pau's like wondering who's actually leading him. And Archer's kind of like, this is cool. You know, we're fine. And then T'Pau was like, I'm going to go check ahead. Like, mom and dad are fighting. I don't want to be here for this. So I'm just going to go ahead and walk off and just scan ahead for a little bit and let you guys kind of deal with this shit.
You can figure it out.
And it was basically just a whole religious conversation that they were having. You know, because she doesn't believe in it, and he's kind of like, yeah, you know, it's something.
It's kind of, I guess it is the shit that people would talk about when wandering around in the desert. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what else are you going to fucking talk about?
I know. Like, well, yeah, Randish. It kind of reminds me of Tropic Thunder when they do that montage when Ben Stiller gets separated from the rest of the team and the rest of the team is just walking. And then the dorky dude is like going, yeah. And then the whole thing between HD discs and Blu-ray came down to gaming and porn. And then Robert Downey Jr. turns and goes, are you talking to me this whole time? Like, he wasn't paying attention. He was just talking. but yeah, that's kind of what I saw here. But I mean, I don't know. It just kind of, the conversation seemed a little weird to me.
It seemed weird because it was like, it was like you said, it was exposition or whatever, but for nothing. There's no point to it.
Yeah.
Other than just explaining a part of Vulcan culture, which I found interesting, but most people don't care.
Right.
It has something to do with the plot.
Right. And then T'Pau's like anger to it. But, you know, I kind of felt that they could have kind of said that maybe that anger could have stemmed from her mother dying for this. Like, it could have been something like that. But it didn't seem to really kind of go anywhere just to kind of, like, have a conflict for the sake of conflict.
I mean, they got to fill the time up.
Yeah, well, you know? Yeah, they got a lot else going on.
45 minutes to fill.
Right. So, I like, though, when, like, she leaves, like, T'Pau leaves because mommy and daddy are fighting, so I'm going to get out of here.
Am I interrupting something?
And then, yeah, comes back and goes, am I interrupting something? Bitch! You fucking knew this was going to happen, like, before it. It's like, I kind of was like, I expected, like, you know, T'Pau to just kind of like, bitch, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but T'Pau's going to lose the argument with Archer anyway. He's got, like, three fucking minds in his head at the moment. And one of them's the fucking, they're Buddha.
One thing I thought was funny was Archer was like, I feel kind of at peace. I may take up meditation. And then she's like, yeah, that might help you some.
He should. We fucking be getting upset too much.
You're getting a little stressed. And then in the next episode, Archer really kind of goes brand fucking new. I remember that episode. So you have that. Then we go back to the Andorian ship and Shran still torturing him. And for me, it would have just...
Yeah, they keep cutting back to the ship and it's just getting worse and worse.
What would have been funny is if, like, you know, they say they breaks down their emotions. Would have been funny if Saval just started getting a little more badass, like, each time. Like, Sack, all you got? You know,
he kind of did because he was talking shit.
Yeah. And the thing would be like, you know, it's like going, how does that feel? Harder, daddy. You know, that kind of shit. Like, but the one thing I really, really dug in this scene was when Saval goes, have you heard the story of Narok?
Where he started telling a story.
Yeah.
And then said that this is going to be you.
Yeah. His name means fool in our language. You know, that's going to be you in Andorra.
That was really dope.
I was like, damn.
You know what? You can tell too, and they don't say it outright, but it's very subtle. And if you pay attention to dialogue or whatever, that Shran is doing this because his higher ups are telling him to do it.
Yeah.
And he and Saval even said, "You're afraid of hurting me." Like, he doesn't want to hurt him.
Yeah.
He's just doing what he's told. It's like, I have orders kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's why he's going so slow. He doesn't want to just crank the machine up and fucking kill him.
Because as much shit as he says, he does have respect for Saval. Yeah. You know?
And I think everybody does, even though Saval's kind of a dick sometimes. He's a little softer side of Saval lately in the fourth season, but you know, seeing millions of people die usually will soften the soul a little bit, I guess. But yeah, it was interesting to see that play out.
Yeah. And then we finally get an action sequence back on Vulcan when they're walking through the caverns and then they get hit by those goons from the High Council. And then it gets into a fight.
KGB showed up.
Yeah. Fucking Russian. What was the Russian counterpart to like the CIA? You know, they come is showing up. But it was funny because then they lead into a fight. And then I saw Archer do kind of a roundhouse kick a little bit. And I started being like, da, 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 da,
da, da, da. Stay ready, bro. I'm telling you.
One of the things I always found interesting, and this is something I've noticed throughout Trek, is that everybody has weapons. One has a blunt side, and then the other side has an axe or sharp, you know, death side to it. But every time they fight, they use the blunt side. They point the sharp side and then keep using the blunt side.
He was saying, "This, you know, we'll let you go if you just give us the thing." I didn't want to hurt him.
No, but this is like I'm saying, like this through anything of Trek, like even like the Klingons with the batlefs, they never stab you with the pointy thing. They go ahead and hit you with the center blade that has nothing on there, or hits you in the back with the blunt force object. And it's the same thing with Klingons, and you see it in fight scenes and stuff like that. I'm always like, then why have sharp ends? Why don't you just have billy clubs and just go to town if like you're never going to actually use the sharp end? But maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just my blood and gut side trying to say, like, fucking stab someone already.
Fucking shank a bitch.
I know.
It's on network television.
One of the Klingons goes, tack, 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 tack. And then they capture T'Pol. And T'Pol sends Archer down a convenient slide in a rock formation. And then she goes and they both make it safe to second. And I always thought this was funny because like, and I always have to remind myself that this is pre-Spock Vulcans because they're like going, where are they going? And she's like, Mount Celea. And he's like, you know, if you're late, she's like, I'm a Serenite. We don't lie. And I was like, oh yeah, this is pre-Spock. Like, yeah. So I always kind of forget that part a little bit.
Spock be lying, bro.
I know what the fuck you're talking about. So when we come back to Act 3, T'Pol's brought to the High Command or High Council, and I thought this was kind of funny because it was such a gratuitous shot because they could have done it from the top of the building, but no, they show from the carpet. And you see the feet walking, and then the camera pans up, and a major shot of T'Pol's ass, like right there on the screen, and then comes up. I mean, I respect him for it, but I was like, that may be a little gratuitous.
You can't be getting away with shit like that nowadays.
Yeah, bro. You know, it's like, I'm surprised they didn't have her, like, just like in knee-high boots and a thong, and just, like, kind of pan the camera up that way.
You know, there's a reason she doesn't show up to the conventions, guys. If you ever wonder, you have Star Trek conventions and you never see the actress who played T'Pol, that would be why. Even though she was probably the second best depiction of a Vulcan I've ever seen in all of Star Trek. Not once. She didn't come to any of them fucking conventions. She married some rich dude and said, fuck y'all.
And mad respect. Mad respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they have her up there. And then, of course, fucking Velas is like going, you know, where she's like, I'm not part of the, you know, High Command. And he's like, yeah, but you're still a Vulcan, you know, it's like, and you're
suspect. You can still get hit with Vulcan laws or whatever he said.
Yeah. And then throws.
And he was so proud of himself when he said it, too.
I know. And then that whole like, you know, we don't have many death penalties, but treason. is still punishable
That's
by death.
That's also not how that works. Like, she lives with humans now.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know.
So we go back to the Shran ship, and then you get, you know, the they want a status report on the torture. Is he dead yet?
Did you kill that bitch?
And, you know, they Saval, you know, starts laughing because he's like, you know, he feels stupid. He's like, I feel like a fool, you know, coming over here thinking you would believe me, you know. And then, you know, the Enterprise finally gets to them and starts firing on them and shit like that. So he's like, you know, it was cool, too, because when they said, like, their status report, he goes, I'll get back to them when I'm done. You know, it's like, fuck them all. And then he's like, you know, when Enterprise starts firing, and there was just that moment when he said that about being a fool, thinking he would believe him. And finally, Shran is just like, all right, get him out of the machine, and we're going to send him back to the Enterprise. And then the way he tells the guards, get him out of that thing. I was like, motherfucker, you put him in there. Like, what are you getting mad at them for?
Because he felt stupid. Yeah. Like, the thing is, the guy who plays Shran is the shit. Like, the whole way he played that was so subtle and dope, where you could tell that he didn't want to do it, and that this and that and the other thing. It was fucking good, man.
Yeah.
Good time.
Good times, good times.
Torture, you know what I'm saying? Torture. Good time.
You can't have any better television than torture. I mean,
you
that's
really
just,
can't.
Yeah.
You really can't.
And then we pick up on the Enterprise where Saval's in sick bay, which we, if you want to talk about not seeing very much of anybody, we didn't see much of fucking Phlox in this episode.
I mean, it's also a political intrigue episode.
What was it that he says? He goes, work one day on, 5 days off.
Yeah.
I still get paid the same. I love John Billingsley. And then he goes in there, and I kind of expected Trip to be like, motherfucker, you come, you know, like kind of like really want to put
his. He kind of was.
Yeah, like he wanted to put his hands around his neck. He's like, the fuck you doing here? And try to kill this motherfucker, and then you come over here. Oh, how's he feeling? You know, it's like, fuck.
He wasn't having it, bro.
So he just says that he'll be out for a couple of, you know, may take a couple of days, but, you know, he should be fine. So Shran goes and says, like, you know, they, you know, he convinced the military that they're going to meet up with the Vulcans at on their way to Andoria, and that it would be, it kind of sounded like it would kind of be helpful if the Enterprise was with us.
Yeah.
I was like,
but then it's funny because he did that, but I'm thinking to myself, like, shouldn't you ask Starfleet Command before you start getting involved in military conflicts?
Yeah, but everybody does that.
I know. But still, yeah.
Right. Speaking of which, I was watching Trek Culture last night, and they had the 10 worst time travel episodes. And you know who had the most worst time travel episodes? Voyager.
They had a lot.
They had a lot of time travel episodes. A lot of them were, I mean, some of them I was kind of like, yeah, but they can't really, you know, it's Star Trek. It was TV at that time where if you have all this shit happens at the end, it reverts everything back so nothing happens. And their whole kind of case was it didn't mean anything. And I was like, yeah, but those kind of episodes, you know, they come and you get to see something, you know, you get to see some of the main characters die. You get to see things blow up that wouldn't, you know, it's like,
didn't they have a cool, Voyager had a cool episode. I think it was a time travel episode, something to do with shuttlecrafts. I don't remember. Or they were floating in space or something. I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen it. But Voyager is one of those shows where they had a lot of filler and a lot of silly shit. But they had some good episodes too.
No, they had some good ones.
Yeah.
But
like that one with the dude who there was this one episode where it was some alien that had the captain in a coma. Remember? And he looked like her old boss or something.
Oh, yeah.
Her dad. No, she looked like her dad. Yeah. And then she figured out. Any Janeway episode was pretty fire, dude.
My favorite was The Year of Hell.
Your Hell's classic, dude.
You know, but I really wish they kind of did it the way they originally intended to do it, because I think they, Brandon Bragaw and somebody else said that they wanted to do a Year of Hell, but like do it like season long, make it like a Year of Hell. And, at least, you know, span over quite a bit of the season, or if not the whole season. And, of course, Rick Berman shot it down because this is an episodic television show. We can't do season-long story arcs.
I'm going to be honest. In the 90s, bro, I don't know if that would have been played out very well. If it was a year of hell, like an actual year of just shit happening badly every episode, or 26 episodes. I feel like, we watched season 3 of fucking Enterprise, and that was starting to wear thin.
Yeah, but that was a weak premise anyway.
It was, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It might have worked.
Yeah, but then again, you know, you have actor contracts, so you have actors committed for so many seasons, so many episodes a season, and if you kill them off early on in the season, they're out of work for almost a year, for a whole season, yeah. You know? But no, it would have been cool to kind of see at least more than just like 2 episodes. Would have been kind of good.
Another great Voyager episode just came to mind. When those aliens were on the ship and they were invisible at first, and they were like, they were fucking with the humans because they were doing experiments.
Oh,
like
with
Janeway, they were making it so she couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she just fucking snapped and started flying like full force towards a star.
Yeah.
She's like, listen, you're going, I'm going too. It's fine. We're going. I was like, oh, shit.
You know, my favorite Voyager episode? The finale. Okay, so.
You're an idiot. Finale wasn't even that good.
No, but it ended. So,
there'll be no Star Trek slander on this podcast. Okay.
So we're back on Vulcan, and Archer is, you know, hell bent on getting T'Pol back.
As always,
because he's like, you know. Phlox kind of told me something that was kind of true, that I've always wanted to have sex with T'Pol, so I need to get her back.
Yeah. I was thinking on that one time when Phlox, I mean, I almost said that episode. Like, I was like, for that one episode.
So then they encounter the goons from the High Council, and they get into
the goon squad.
The goon squad.
The Boy Scout goon squad.
All the fucking Vulcans from the goon squad all sound like they work on the docks in New York. You know, it's like, it's like all out of the Sopranos. Hey, Tony, what do you got going on over here?
It's the end of the line, punk. Jesus.
Or one of them goes, hey, we got to go back and play darts with my cousin.
Yeah. They walk towards him snapping like West Side Story and shit, you know?
So they find out that T'Pol was taken back to the High Command, and Archer goes ahead and does the nerve pinch, and then it's funny too, because when he does the nerve pinch and then T'Pol kind of looks at him, she kind of looked at, why am I turned on right now? I don't understand this.
Yeah, bro. Your technique is getting better.
It's like, yeah, you want to see that pinch, you should see something else.
Yeah, for real.
Al comes out of nowhere and goes, Ziggy says it's 99% chance you're about to get laid right now.
Yes, right.
why isn't it 100%? Because you're still wearing your shirt. Okay.
Right. There's barriers.
And then the act ends with the meetup. You see, I kind of liked it because you see like the Andorian ships and the Enterprise on there, and then you see all the Vulcan ships, which I gotta admit, the Vulcan ships are fucking sexy, dude.
Yo, I love those Andorian ships, dude.
Those Andorian ships are cool.
They just look very utilitarian. They look like Star Wars ships.
Vulcans.
The Andorian ships look like Star Wars ships.
Vulcan ships look like we're Vulcans and we got a big dick, and they're kind of like, helicopter dicking around.
You know what Vulcan ships look like? They get like they got money. That's what it looked like. They out here with Lambos and shit fighting people.
They got Teslas and shit. You got the Tesla logo.
As soon as
the
Vulcans show up, people just go, ah, fucking bitches, bro. Get the fuck. Like you could totally see, and it's funny because when you put Vulcan ships next to Andorian ships, you can tell that these people don't like each other.
Yeah.
You don't even have to know the history. You just like these motherfuckers don't like each other.
It's fucking, you see all the Vulcan ships, they got like Audi logos and Tesla logos all right in the front of their ships.
The fucking Antorians pulling up in minivans and shit.
they got like Honda logos and shit like
no,
that.
No, you know what they got? The Antorians got Fieros motherfucking cruising up. Oh shit.
Oh shit. On Vulcan, Archer and T'Pau finally reach the outer edge of the city. And I love it too, because they're looking and they're like, you don't think they're just gonna let us in there. But what's funny, because the way they shot the ship and the city and the way T'Pau and Archer were standing there, I kind of expected Archer to be like, Mos Eisley spaceport, you'll never find a more vicious hive of scum and villainy. Because it kind of had that similar look with them looking over the ledge and down on that. But what I thought was funny was when she was like, you know, well, we could transport in, but we need security codes. And he's like, I think I might know someone. And it was the Borg. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it was the Borg. And so we get to the council chamber, and Kuvok notices that the Andorian ships have met up with the Vulcan ships, and they're like, I scanned their ships. They don't have Zindi weapons. Oh, that's something that I forgot in the beginning, because they said that they got reports that the reason they were attacking the Andorians was because they had, put Zindi weaponry on their ships, and they had taken the Zindi probe back to Andoria and dismantled it. And I was like, wait, I thought Archer destroyed it. And then they mentioned when they, I forgot this one, when they met with Shram, and he's like, Archer destroyed it before, you know, we could study. And I was like, oh, okay, that is right. That's right. That's the lie he was selling. It was they have weapons of mass destruction, but they don't. See fucking Chaney, man. And he says, like, you know, they don't have any zipping wear, they just have regular particle weapons, and that they should call this whole attack off, because, you know,
they're just Andorians, bro. They have nothing special.
and then Velos is like, nope. Like, okay, like,
yeah.
Yeah, nah, yeah, we doing this still.
We throw them down. Fuck these bitches.
Well, they're here now. They're on our turf. You think we're going to just let them slide like that? Fuck
exactly.
No. So on Enterprise, so now we got that standoff. So Trip orders the Enterprise to get in between the fleets, which I loved fucking Mayweather's look when he's like, move the Enterprise between the two fleets. Mayweather's like, the fuck?
You want me to do what? Mayweather ain't said a damn word the whole episode. That shit was funny as fuck, dude.
That was the most, and I know we've said this before, but, you know, as a black character, he was written mostly white in this series, but that was the most black reaction I had seen from someone. Was like, the fuck you say? You know what? We're going to go ahead and put me in a shuttle pod, and I'll pilot the ship remotely. Okay, that's what we're gonna do. Because I'm not doing that shit.
Fuck all that.
So then Velas contacts Trip, and then tries to scare him about Starfleet. And Trip's all like, "Oh, they know I'm here. And if we end up getting destroyed, they know who did it." I was like, "Oh, okay." Now I don't know if Trip was bluffing.
I think Trip always thinks everything's going to work out.
He's just like,
I think he really runs off of that.
Just like, yeah, this sounds right. I'll go with that.
Yeah, everything will be fine. Just fuck it.
So Velas tells his ships to engage, and then Kuvok tries to stop him. And then fucking has him. And then when he tries to stop him, he fucking has one of the guards goes and pull a gun on him. And he's just like,
you pull the heat out on him.
Yeah, he's like, you interfere again, I'm going to have you fucking arrested. He was acting kind of like a mob boss at this point.
Yeah, he was. Drunk with power.
Flexing. Like, you know, he's like, well, gee, like this? You like this? You want to see this? You want to see these guns? You know, like, he was a little much.
He's a little much.
What's funny, though, is that what I think about Velas is the way his character kind of had the slow progression of becoming kind of unhinged.
Yeah. And it was mostly in this episode, too. Well, no, the three episodes, like, he was calm in the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like from part one. Yeah,
he just became this fucking crazy because it wasn't working out the way he wanted it.
Yeah. Which is always how people freak out. You know, it's like going, this isn't going
the
way.
They have this plan and they think it's airtight. You know, and then it starts falling apart.
You
want to
see something airtight? You want to see something airtight? So, you know, he says he'll have him arrested. And then the Enterprise gets caught in the crossfire. And I liked how one of the Andorian ships was about to get hit. So the Enterprise comes in and tries to, you know, swoop in and save him, but then turns the heat on the Enterprise. And then all of a sudden, Shram comes in and takes out that Vulcan ship and then comes back and like, tell Archer, that's two he owes me. I was like,
stupid shit. And Church is looking like, fuck this bitch, bro.
It's funny too, because it's like, he's obsessed with how much he owes him. But what I thought was funny, and this is something I think I mentioned when we did the finale of season three, was when he goes, you know, you're standing up with, when Velas tells Trip that he's standing up with their enemy, he goes, I'm just defending someone who helped defend us, who helped try to defend Earth. I was like, ooh, that stings, don't it? Cause I remember saying, like, it was funny that the Andorians were the only ones. The Vulcans never showed up. The Vulcans didn't show up to help us out. The Andorians did. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
The Andorians are real ones. Because Shran might say, oh, I came because I owed you. Fuck all that, bro. You know you're a homie, dude. Stop.
And then so we go back to Vulcan. And then Archer and T'Pau come walking in like fucking Sith Lords with those robes and the hoods.
That was kind of cheap.
I expected them to kick the robes off and suddenly have lightsabers and like T'Pau has
T'Pau had a smirk on her face too when she was under the hood like, bitches don't know what they coming to them.
When she flips the hood, hello there. And then, you know, he reveals to Kuvak, and I don't know of anybody else there that wasn't on Velas's side, was that Velas actually had the bombing done. And he's like, we gave you the evidence that you had, not the ones that we did. And then shows him that the Kashar is real and activates it. And then it comes. The cool thing with that hologram, when he activated the Kashal and it showed like the writings and stuff like that, I love the way the Vulcan language is written.
It's written like Japanese.
Yeah, where it's all like down. You know, I always thought that, I always kind of liked the way that looked. And don't try to sound like, you
is
know,
it Japanese like, that's like that or Chinese?
No, one of the, I think it's Chinese.
Is it? Yeah. They don't write like that in the modern script, but their original script was up and down. And what do you mean, don't act like what? Because I know something?
Yeah, don't act like you're like, oh, Mr. Worldly, Mr. Like, oh, I know this, you know.
Bitch, you don't need to be concerned that I know something. You need to be concerned that you didn't. That's what you need to be concerned with.
You think you're better than me?
That's strike two for your punk ass today anyway, because this is something earlier you didn't know too. Was it earlier today or yesterday about the Zed thing?
Oh, it was yesterday.
And you were like, no, that's fake news. That's fake news. I said, okay, cool. I thought you actually didn't know this. I was concerned. It's such a British thing that they pronounce it Zed.
But it was funny because
it's so extra.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, it's a Z. Just say Z. Why do you have to say Zed? That's just
right.
That's
Does
cheating
it make that? So when you say zebra, you said zebra? No, you don't, do you? So just see. I'm just kidding. They can pronounce it any way they want. It's their language. I'm just borrowing it.
it's funny because at this point is when Vlas starts throwing a temper tantrum. You know, somebody told me can't have ice cream.
He fully freaks out.
He freaks out, and then fucking Kuvak goes ahead and stuns his ass. I was kind of like,
I would have put that bitch to kill. Fuck that cat, dude.
You'd have been funny if like Kuvak like stuns him, but then after he stuns him, and then Archer catches him. You see Kuvak kind of do that like little pump, like yeah, I kind of did that. Like he starts like act like. His chest puffs out a little bit, you know?
You know what would have been extra funny? Speaking of stun, instead of stunning him with the phaser, he stone cold stuns that motherfucker. Boom! That gets in his face like stone cold used to. I don't know why I just thought of that.
And then you have Archer in the background doing that face thing that John Cena used to do, you know, where you can't see me.
You can't see me. Dude, I miss 90s wrestling so much.
Oh shit,
bro! I just recently watched the clip of when Ed McMahon, what's his name, the one who runs the joint. He's on the fucking
Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon, yeah.
Ed McMahon. You're talking about Johnny Carson's ghost.
He's on the stage talking all proud of himself and shit, like he always was. And then fucking Stone Cold comes in on a beer truck. And just fucking, he's all, and then starts squirting him with a cannon of beer. I said, you could never do this today. This shit is so white trash. It's beautiful. God, I loved wrestling, but I watched it every fucking day it was on.
I remember
loved it.
In the 80s.
80s wrestling is cool, too. That's a whole different vibe.
We used to watch wrestling because when I was a kid, I'd watch cartoons, and usually around 11 o'clock, it depends on which channel you were. Channel, one of the channels, it ended, and then Soul Train started, and then you knew, ooh, cartoons are over. Soul Train. And then there was one of the other channels when the cartoons ended, and then they brought on wrestling afterwards. And it was the only time that my mom and dad actually had left the TV on and sat there, and we all kind of had lunch and watched wrestling. Oh, my God, 80s wrestling.
There's that match. I forget who he was fighting. It was Hulk Hogan. And they did – see, the 80s – so, like, 90s was a mess, but it was fun, right? The 80s, they were, like, superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't human the way they were portrayed. There was this one where it was Hulk Hogan wrestling – I can't remember who it was. And they locked hands like an old-school wrestling move. And then they're just holding it there. And it was so intense. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh my God.
It's so funny because I'll meet people that go, oh, wrestling's dumb. Nobody watches that. And I'm like, bro, a lot of people watch it. You don't know, but a lot of people watch it.
I mean, it's still on network television Friday
multiple
night.
Multiple times. Yeah. There's so many shows. I'll catch the new stuff every once in a while. It's just the storylines are a little bit more boring because the attitude era is over and they go to PG and you're just like, okay. You know? So I want to see a motherfucker smack a bit for nothing, dude. Anyway, our wrestling podcast.
you can listen to it on our Patreon. Right. And twice a week, cause we have 80s and 90s wrestling.
New stuff.
Exactly. So Kuvak calls off the attack, and it's funny too because, like, you know, the Enterprise is getting, you know, hit multiple times, and then suddenly everything's quiet, and then Trip and Malcolm kind of look like the fuck, and it would have been like, and then they get contacted from Vulcan, and it would have been funny. It just kind of struck me as funny the way the conversation seemed like, sup, everything cool, cool. All right. And then just like, that would be it. Like, come get me, you know, because that's kind of how it felt like, you know, you just like the two bros that would be like, you know, sup, we good? Yeah. All right. Come pick you up. All right. That's it. So the Enterprise ends up going.
Literally clap up. We good? Nothing but love for you. All right. So it's that where it's like, we good, but there's eye contact the whole time. With the eyebrows up. We good. Hey, I'm here for you. Just let me know.
Right.
You got my number, bro.
And nobody blinks.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that's like the most intimate moment two heterosexual men will have.
Right.
And where you clap up, but then you hold the hand there for a little bit. Like, we straight, bro? All right, good. They basically just cried it out together.
Right. Minus the tears and the sobbing right. and all that stuff.
They just got it done efficiently.
Right. So, back on the Enterprise, T'Pol's back on there. And then Koss comes walking in, T'Pol's husband. And I kind of thought this was kind of a G moment for Koss. Because Koss was kind of a douche.
Yeah.
You know, but then the way he came in where he's like, you know, where T'Pol's like going, hey, you know, Archer wanted me to say thank you for giving him your codes. And he's like, well, he said you were in trouble. You know, I wouldn't be good husband if I didn't, you know. And like, nah, fuck that bitch.
Even though you treat me like fucking garbage all right. the time. Yeah. I'm still going to help you out.
And then he releases her from the marriage, saying, like, you only got together with me because of your mom, but, you know, your mom's gone. You know, does a little thing to the sky kind of thing.
You know? Your mom's dead, bitch. Like, she bounced.
And it would have, it's like, when she said, when she looked and she's like, you didn't have to do that. It kind of, in my mind, I kind of was like, wait, what? You don't want me anymore? What, you like, suddenly she would get offended.
That would be a human woman. Yeah. That 100%. Who doesn't want to be in the marriage the whole time? As soon as the dude doesn't want, it's like, what's the problem?
Who the bitch Koss? Who that yeah. bitch?
Who the bitch? Tell me who she was. Okay?
My sister said she saw your ass at the movies last night.
Why ain't Koss like, why ain't nobody at the motherfucking movie theater? All of a sudden, it's Friday, bro. Scene for scene. I would laugh. Friday's such a classic
you
movie,
don't
dude.
Gotta lie, Koss. You don't gotta
you
lie.
Gotta lie. No, Koss, honestly, he finally realized she was never going to let him hit. So right. He's like, fuck yeah. this, bro.
It's like, I got other bitches down there that want to hit
him. Yeah, that's right. I'm Koss. Maybe I got money out here.
Randomly, like, flexes and throws his arms out and shit. Like,
what do I look like sitting around the house waiting? Fuck all that shit, bro. We on the scene, baby.
As he's walking out, he gets on a communicate. Yo, man, we're going to hit the club tonight. And the door closes.
But then. I'll send the end part. Fuck it. So, the cool thing was, Saval said that the High Command suspended, so, you know, we're just going to let the humans govern themselves.
Stand on their own.
So kind of them.
Yeah, I know.
So that was cool, even though, I mean, let's be honest, the last three seasons, we've just been bumbling through space. I don't know what test we've passed, but whatever.
What I thought was funny was when he's like going, yeah, we've decided to let Earth stand on its own, and I was like, oh, shit. Like, yeah. Like, in my mind,
that
I'm thinking,
we ain't helping you when you fuck up.
Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, oh, great, what could go wrong? You know, right.
Training wheels are off, bitch. Figure it out.
By the way, that dude that took Sarek Katra out of Picard, I mean, out of Archer,
what
took out Sarek of Archer, yeah. in the uncut version, Kirk, Archer, Spock, Picard. And Sisko were all in this one.
Yeah. And they came there through the Nexus, bro.
Janeway brought them through. On
yeah.
Through using slipstream technology.
Somehow Boimler was there.
That was weird. And then he got into a fight with the Klingons. It was like, bold Boimler, you know?
Bold Boimler, baby. It was the type of Boimler where he was winning at the fucking game. Where he had his fucking coat unclasped and all of a sudden his hair was all coiffed and shit. I was like, what the fuck?
Everybody's suddenly screaming, double!
Bold boy, baby? What's up?
But that guy that removed Sarek Katra from Archer, that dude looked like he had a lot of Katras in his face. Like, just how old he was. I was like, are you sure? Like,
he's seen some shit.
Yeah, like he's.
This was a Saturday to him. Like, you know, fucking, it's whatever, bro.
You guys are lucky I'm on call.
Right.
But yeah, so now they basically said, like, oh, yeah, you know, now Earth is free to kind of do what it wants, which, yeah okay. See what happens. But again, this is all kind of setting up for the formation of the Federation, which is kind of the end goal of this season. And then the little postscript. Scene was T'Lok, the dude that was going after and T'Pol in the desert is actually a Romulan.
Yeah, which very quickly explains why he was fucking raising his voice and shit, because he's not Vulcan.
Yeah. And Velos is pissed. It's funny because he's pissed off at the Romulans, and the Romulans are like, he's like, you didn't kill Archer when you had to. He's like, motherfucker, you got the humans involved. Like, that was your fault. But to me, you know, and then at the end of the scene, he's like, you know, we'll try unification at a later time. Now, to me, I was like, what was the angle? How would they have gotten to reunify with the Romulans by attacking Andoria? Like, that's how...
Because that wasn't the Romulans' goal. It's just that's the fucking deception. You know how Romulans are, bro.
Mm.
Always lying and shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Fuck Romulans.
The one crowd's like, fuck Starfleet. The other one's like, fuck Romulans.
Whoa. A little racist. Starfleet's not a race, you know.
Exactly. We're more fluid.
Let me read these production notes, okay?
Okay.
This was the only Star Trek episode whose name begins with the letter K until Lower Decks Kayshan, his eyes open. That's great. Thank God I know that. Who fucking wrote that? Someone needs to get outside.
It's like K-pop and K-stores and K-Koreans, you know? Like that's just...
It's the Korean brand name now. You just put K in front, you know.
Exactly.
The final scene in which Velas meets clandestinely with a Romulan operative almost didn't make it into the finished episode for budgetary reasons. Okay, they're just standing in a fucking alley. Originally, the Romulan was to have been a new, never-before-seen character. But there was no money left in the budget to pay for another speaking role. Damn. The fucking money was tight.
So we're going to have this dude, but he's not going to say anything. He's going to sign it.
Right. Writer Mike Sussman. Well, you got to pay people who sign the same amount, bro, or you're a fucking bigot. You can't be, you know. Adjusted the scene so that the Romulan became the character T'Lok, a Vulcan role that had already been cast. The reuse of a Romulan uniform from Star Trek Nemesis allowed the scene to be included in the finished episode. Had the scene been cut, it is very nearly was, Romulan's role in the Vulcan Civil War would have remained completely hidden, even from the audience. We wouldn't have known shit.
Yeah.
Because we just saw it and we were still confused. I was like, what? Also, they use that Nemesis outfit. The fucking Romulans need to get a stylist where they don't change their look.
I know.
Jeez, this is hundreds of years in the past.
Well, you find something you like, you stick with it. Not like Starfleet. Yeah. He changes uniforms at the drop of a hat.
John Billingsley remarked that the story arc that culminated in this episode was very strong. He's just happy that he got some time off. The motherfucker was barely in it.
He could sit. No, but he showed up and he got to sit back and watch other people working.
He was chilling, dude. The upper portion of a Vulcan Capitol building is a reuse of a model first featured in Stormfront Part 2. As the
I had it too, and then you pronounced it twice wrong. Sarajevo.
I pronounced it once wrong because I didn't finish it the first time. Thank you very much. Okay. An Earthship. An Earthship escorting Enterprise to Earth. The Andorian antennae in this episode were operated by special effects makeup technicians Alan A. Appone and Paul Elliott.
I always like these ones because you get the move when they're talking and stuff like that. That must be weird for the actors to have wires up their back and shit to get them to move.
They're probably used to it, you know, especially on Star Trek.
Do you really have to put it up my ass to get the antennas to move? It's technical. It's technical.
The damage report pad, which Tucker holds in his hand during the meeting with Reed in the ready room, lists various appearances of the number 47. Okay. Hold on real quick. Oh, yeah, I guess that's a thing. which Star Trek, I just clicked on the link. 47 shows up a lot. Some fucking Illuminati shit. Tucker tells Velas that by putting themselves in the middle of the fight between the Vulcans and the Andorians, Earth via Enterprise is returning the favor owed to the Andorians, specifically Shran, for helping them save their home planet. This is a reference to Shran's actions in Zero Hour. The notion of being in each other's debt began in season one's The Andorian Incident. Despite this, after having protected Enterprise, Shran instructs Tucker to tell Archer that Archer now owes him two favors. Sexual favors. The final scene of this episode
this foreshadows... time he needs to shave.
Yeah. Episode foreshadows the events of TNG Unification 1 and Unification 2, in which an attempt at reunification was initiated by Ambassador Spock in the 24th century. Though the reunification Velas and T'Lok spoke of was likely not one of a peaceful nature, as Spock intended. Likely not. Finally, T'Pol is cured from the Pinar syndrome in this episode. I don't want to say finally, like we expected it to happen.
Yeah. We just figured they would just stop mentioning it and then we forget about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like they fix everything in TV. She had contracted the disease in fusion and was diagnosed in stigma. In the Andorian incident, T'Pol stated that the Andorians did not have transporter technology. They do possess such technology in this episode. This is the only episode to feature Shran having no interaction with Captain Archer, either in person or over a view screen.
I got to admit that going back, we're talking about the Pinar syndrome, that stigma episode, it's probably one of my favorite episodes. I really like the...
It was a good episode.
The allegory behind it, yeah.
It was... what's his name? The fucking wife was funny. That's what I always remember.
Oh yeah, yeah. Phlox's wife, right? When she was trying to get with Trip.
She was trying to get all up in his ass. I was like, Jesus. In terms of this episode's chronological, not production order, within the franchise, T'Lok is the first Romulan character to appear on screen in Star Trek. The Romulan Star Empire had been mentioned for the first time during the second season premiere Shockwave Part 2. The Romulan ships and technology had appeared a few episodes later in Minefield. I really liked Minefield where the Romulans were there, you never saw them.
Yeah.
I thought that was so fucking cool because that's in the lore.
Yeah.
That during the war that they had with them, they never saw them. They didn't know what they looked like.
Yeah, because the war takes place after this, because that was the early days of the Federation. But
then it also makes sense because they don't want them to think they're the Vulcans.
Yeah.
But
when people say like prequels and shit like that, it's like a lot of people are saying, but we don't want any more prequels. You should do some new stuff, but we should see we want to see a series based on the Federation and Romulan War, which I think would be interesting. Yeah. That I think would be interesting.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Like, make it like almost like Battlefield Galactica style gritty. Like, that'd be fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, it just follows some fucking, I don't know, some fucking people on a fighter ship or something. I don't know how they fight. I can't remember what they used to fight, what Starfleet was running with at that time. The book Star Trek 101.
Suddenly they have Vipers and shit. You're like, oh, no shit.
Yeah. The book Star Trek 101, page 261, by Terry J. Erdman and Paul M. Block, lists this episode as one of the 10 essential episodes of Star Trek Enterprise. Of course, agree with that.
It builds the lore for Vulcan.
Yeah. In addition to the aforementioned Vulcan energy pistol, other items from the episode that were auctioned off in the It's a Wrap sale.
I left that in there because of Euphoria.
I love it. I've just learned to like it. Include a Vulcan High Command display table, which was bought for $466, and a pair of boots worn by Jeff Smolek, maybe. Probably licking them fucking boots. Too nasty. But yeah, that was a good episode, man. That whole story arc was solid.
Yeah, and it's funny too because like compared to the ones we did before, the Augment series was pretty weak sauce out the gate. But I really like this one because the story, with the exception of that like exposition on Vulcan, I think the exposition was good to kind of break up the tension, 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 tension. We break it up a little bit. Tension, 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 tension.
Yeah.
So I think in a lot of instances, I think it's a, it was a really way out, way, yeah, well laid out episode. That's what I was trying to get to.
Yes.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. And in the end, Archer would say the Borg was behind it.
Because they were.
They're behind everything.
That's right. Pulling strings in the background, man.
All right, so next week's episode breaks up the 2-3 episode plot with a single episode. And like I said, I've remembered this episode, and this is one of those episodes where fucking Archer acts brand fucking new. So those are always kind of annoying episodes.
Oh, this episode's okay. I remember this one.
Yeah.
Dude with the wheelchair.
Yeah. Fucking wheelchair people, we can't trust them.
Yeah, I just can't. Never can. You know, those wheelchair people.
Yeah, I mean, you're in a wheelchair, think like, oh, hey, I'm in a wheelchair. You can do whatever the fuck I want.
Jesus. Can never trust the physically impaired. You know what I mean?
Absolutely just not. I mean, people think I'm an asshole, but it's like, you wait. You wait and see.
It reminds me, and we've all been in that situation where you're saying like an offensive joke, just kind of kidding, and then you quickly realize the person that you're joking with is not joking. Yeah, has that ever happened to you? Yeah. Like it's at work or something, and you're like, you say something maybe low key racist or something, you know, but you're kidding,
right?
You know, and then they start saying it, but then you hear that tone, the inflection a little bit, and you're like, wait a minute, are you joking, right?
And then they start to mention something a little more. You're like, oh, wait a minute.
Or they're like, oh, yeah, 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 I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just, nah, you ain't joking, bitch. Fucking closet racist fucking piece of shit. I got your ass, motherfucker. Got you in 4K.
Got you
in 4K. It's a Dave Chappelle. Got you, bitch.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just stop.
You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.